Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:32 p.m. on Monday, April 19th, 2021. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McCain, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Tom Raymond from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. This time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Price Tompkins, Representative Drummond, my Vice Chair, Representative Snyder, joining us by Teams, and myself, Representative Clayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business today is House Bill 66, Elections Voting Ballot, sponsored by Representative Tuck. This is the third hearing of the bill in the House Judiciary Committee. At this time, we will take up amendments to House Bill 66. I'd like to put on record the legislative legal has permission to make any technical and conforming changes to the bill. Our office received three amendments to House Bill 66. The amendment process will be treated like floor amendments. The maker of the amendment moves the amendment and speaks to it with a three-minute time limit. Then we'll take questions, and questions will be limited to 1 minute per question. Then we will proceed to discussion with each member limited to 3 minutes. Finally, the maker of the amendment will have 1 minute to wrap up. When we come to an amendment, the mover can either move the amendment or it will be withdrawn. We will not roll amendments to the back. And I would then turn to amendment number one and Representative Snyder. And I'd recognize that at about 1:34 p.m., Representative Eastman has also joined us. Representative Snyder.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm amendment one.
Object for purposes of discussion.
Representative Snyder, tell us about amendment number one.
Thank you. Yes, so amendment number one addresses an issue on page 13, line 13, that provides instruction regarding notifying voters why their ballot was rejected. And this amendment adds in instruction that in that communication from the Division of Elections, that they also alert the voter how they may cure their ballot if the reason it was rejected was for one of the reasons that allows curing. So to streamline the communication process, if you're going to let someone know that their ballot was rejected, then this amendment would also make sure that at the same time it is communicated how they could cure it.
And I would recognize Representative Vance joined us at 1:35. Questions for the maker of the amendment? But actually, questions or comments regarding, actually, questions about the amendment first. Hearing and seeing no questions, is there any discussion of the amendment? As typical, it's only pretty good stock once. Any discussion on amendment number one? Hearing and seeing none, is the objection maintained, Representative?
I remove my objection, Mr. Chair.
Is there further amendment to amendment number one? Hearing and seeing none, amendment number one is approved. That brings us to amendment number two, Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment two.
Object for purposes of discussion.
Representative Snyder, tell us about amendment number two.
So amendment number two addresses an issue that came up in discussion at our last hearing on page 14, lines 7-8. We had talked about how perhaps there was an issue with the new language not setting a receipt end date for receiving those cured ballots, and the original language being they must be received by the completion of the state ballot counting review, and that felt pretty wide open, ambiguous, and one could even make the argument that by virtue of there still being curable ballots out there, that the state ballot counting review would never actually be concluded. So this amendment suggests 10 days after the election that those cured ballots would have to be received, and that is to find some consistency with other deadlines that we also have in statute. This one in particular matches the deadline by which in a primary we have to receive ballots mailed from an international location. To allow enough time and a familiar time frame that we deal with other types of ballots.
Question about amendment number two, and I recognize Representative Kirka joined us, I'm guessing about 1:36 p.m. Representative Kirka, question about number two.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the 10-day deadline, I'm trying to recall, what is the deadline now for receiving ballots to be counted after an election? There's typically a deadline. I mean, the postmark date has to be by the election day, but I thought there was a timeline allowed for overseas or military.
I know there's different. Representative Snyder, can you answer that question, or should we get somebody from the Division of Elections?
I will do my best, and then I'm sure there may be some clarification. So if you look in, it is noted in 15.20.081, let's see, H1 and 2, it does indicate when an absentee ballot must be returned by mail. It's the 10th day following a primary election or special election, and it's the 15th day following a general election, special runoff election, or a special election, and other than a, 15th day following a general election, special runoff election, or special election. And this pertains to ballots returned by mail from outside the United States or from an overseas voter. So we attempted in this amendment to pick one of the longest time frames that was already utilized in statute.
Ms. Thompson is here, Carol Thompson from the Operations Manager Division of Elections. Can you add anything in response to Representative Kirka's question?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Carol Thompson, Division of Elections. No, I have nothing further to add. It is the 10 days after Election Day for the primary and 15 days after the general election.
And the question I had for Representative Snyder, does this mean that they have to complete the cure within a period of time, or that they have to complete the cure within 10 days of the election?
The way it is written now, Mr. Chair, yes, this would set a date where the cured ballot would have to be received within 10 days after the election.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions about amendment number two? Don't see any other questions. Any comments on amendment number two? Hearing and sun is. Seeing none, is the objection maintained, Representative?
I remove my objection, Mr. Chair.
Is there further objection to amendment number two? Hearing and seeing none, amendment number two is approved without objection. That brings us last to amendment number three, Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment three.
Object for purposes of discussion.
Representative Snyder, tell us about amendment number three.
Yes, thank you. This addresses an issue on, again, page 14. This time line 14, it provides just some additional clarification. In this case, the language is saying one of the curable issues that could be addressed with an absentee ballot. And one of them was if the date, the certificate date was failed to be entered or they provided an improper date, it then said if received by the division on or before the day of the election. And that language is not consistent, really, with how we deal with the receipt of ballots for an election. So we added postmarked. So this language is not addressing cured ballots. This is addressing ballots that were submitted for a primary or a general election, had a problem with the date, and we would allow those ballots to be cured if they had originally been postmarked on or before the election day. It's a language cleanup.
Representative Eastman, question.
Thank you, and I'm curious. We heard in a previous hearing that there are some ballots which, for whatever reason, don't get postmarked when they go through the mail. And I'm wondering two things. What is the current status of a ballot like that if it does not have a postmark and it's received after the day of the election, and then what is your intent through this amendment for those types of ballots?
Sounds like the first question is part of the question is directed to Ms. Thompson. What do you do with ballots that don't have a stamp on them?
Representative Eastman, through the chair. So currently, if a ballot is, of course, received prior to or on election day and it does not contain a postmark, we will accept those ballots because they were received timely and they would be processed accordingly based on being received on time. If the ballot comes in after election day and it is not postmarked, we look at the date that it was witnessed, and if it was witnessed on or before election day, we would then accept that ballot. If there is no postmark or date, then we cannot accept that ballot.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Actually, I think that next part of the second part of your earlier question would be for Representative Snyder. Is this amendment intended to change that practice in any way for the Division of Elections?
No. Though in hearing Ms. Thompson's answer, I would want to be sure that this, the way it's currently worded, that this amendment would not eliminate the division's ability to accept a ballot that's received on or before election day, but had a date issue that they normally would be able to that would end up not resulting in the ballot being rejected. I wouldn't want to get in the way of that with this amendment.
Ms. Thompson, first, sounds like there is not to change anything, but Ms. Thompson, would this amendment change anything in terms of division practice?
Representative
Snyder,
through the chair. The date of, I'm not sure. Maybe it would be best if Tom Flynn adjusts this. I'm just not, the way I read provides an improper date on the certificate. I'm not sure if there would be conflict in our current procedure for that. So I really don't know the answer to that question without comparing it with everything else.
Well, fortunately, Tom Flynn from the Department of Law is on the line. Mr. Flynn, can you provide an answer to that question?
Yes, Tom Flynn from the Department of Law, through the chair. So this subsection here, it looks like there are two potential issues, a certificate that either isn't dated or one that has some other date on it. And it, as I understand it, so the date comes from the witness, usually not the voter. That's the part of the certificate that's dated. So if something is missing a date, but it comes in time, then it's counted. And if it's missing a date, but it's postmarked in time, and then an improper date would be something like the witness dated it, but after the date of the election. So I'm a little curious how that situation would arise, I guess. So to answer the question more directly, I don't think this would affect the current practice, but I'm not sure what practice it would fix.
Representative Eastman, follow-up?
Thank you, and through the chair. So, my question is, if we were to pass amendment number 3 and add in the words, or postmarked, what impact would that have on a ballot that does not have a postmark on the ballot? And obviously, we dealt with situations where the postmark isn't even looked at because it came in before the deadline. I'm not talking about those. I think that's understandable enough. I'm talking about if the postmark requirement is going to bear on whether or not the ballot is counted or not, what will happen with that not postmarked ballot if Amendment 3 passes?
I'm going to let Mr. Flynn try to take the first shot at this.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Eastman, Tom Flynn again. So the question here is, if one comes in and it's not postmarked at all, but it's received after Election Day, then there would be no opportunity to cure as I read it, because it didn't come in before Election Day, and it wasn't postmarked. So there isn't a chance to, I guess, backdate it would be.
So Mr. Flynn, just one clarification as I'm listening to your answer. It appears that Section 30 of the bill, AS1520.204, a new section about this is only about cured ballots, not about ballots that aren't subject to this whole cure provision. So this section, at least, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but does this have any application to ballots that are not subject to the cure provision?
Chair Klayman, no, I don't think it would, but this is listing the situations that are curable, as I read it. And so we're imagining ballots that either lack a date or have some other date on them. And if they're then not postmarked and not received in time, then there wouldn't be an opportunity to cure.
Right.
But I'm not sure that that's the question anymore.
Representative Eastman, do you have follow-up? Or are you satisfied with the answers you've heard?
I think I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, that if Amendment 3 passes and it does not have a postmark and it does not arrive by the deadline, then it could not be counted. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, that's my understanding. Maybe Ms. Thompson could weigh in too.
Thank you.
Ms. Thompson, anything to add?
Representative Eastman to the chair. Currently, I can tell you if it's dated, so let's say, okay, so if it had a bad date or lack of a date, that would be the only impact. If it had a date and the date was on or before Election Day, our current practice would be to accept it and count it if it was received after Election Day.
Okay. Any other questions about Amendment Number 3?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you. I'm slightly confused. I thought I heard Ms. Thompson say that if the witness witness signature came with a date on or before Election Day and the envelope was not postmarked on or before Election Day, the witness date would count for meeting the postmarked by or before Election Day provision. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, the witness date would be the date that we would look at currently to see if it was received after Election Day and there was no postmark. We would accept it if the witnessing date was on or before Election Day.
Okay, follow up?
Representative Drummond.
Okay, so I apologize. I'm not recalling if we're eliminating the witness function in this bill. In that case, what is the certificate? Not having a ballot handy.
We're not eliminating the witness function in this bill.
Okay. So is that what the certificate is? Is that the witness certificate?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, that would be the certificate. Yes.
Okay. Then I'm clear. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions about Amendment Number 2? Hearing and seeing none. Any comments on Amendment Number 3. I misspoke. We've downpulled Amendment Number 2. Any comments on Amendment Number 3? Hearing and seeing none. Is the objection maintained?
I remove my objection, Mr.
Is there further objection to Amendment Number 3? Hearing and seeing none, Amendment Number 3 also is approved. Those are the only three amendments that we received for House Bill 66. That brings House Bill 66 back before the committee. Actually, I neglected to say earlier, Representative Tuck has also been with us on Teams. He's actually sitting in the Anchorage LIO in a very spacious conference room by himself. That brings House Bill 66 back before the committee for final comments. And today we are starting in my circulating rotation, first person up for comments for up to 3 minutes, Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank Representative Tuck for his feedback and working with us on those amendments.
All right. Representative Drummond, any comments?
No comments.
Representative Vance.
I just want to say, you know, thank you for Representative Tuck for bringing forth a bill regarding helping the clarify the process in a lot of our elections. However, it is no reflection on my vote today. You know, I feel that we need to take a much deeper dive into addressing a lot of the concerns that Alaskans have shown regarding our election process, and still very much appreciate a lot of the ideas that have been brought forward with this bill.
Thank you. Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble because I'm looking at the words on the page which we're about to cast a vote on and make a recommendation to the full House on, and yet I know from having listened to testimony here in committee and from watching the last election that the words that we're talking about don't seem in some cases to have any connection to the actual reality of how our election process is going to be conducted. You know, we heard a moment ago that the requirement that something be received by the division on a certain date, well, that isn't always followed. And if there's not a postmark and someone wrote in another date, whatever date they wrote in is what gets counted instead. We have talked, heard testimony from folks about signature verification and how great that is, but we don't have any of that in this state. And we seem to have missed that conversation entirely or barely started it. And then we're talking about, you know, the witness signatures, but what's written in statute about a witness signature wasn't at all followed in the last election. A judge said that we don't need to follow the witness signature. And if you don't have a witness signature, your ballot can get counted anyways. So I'm somewhat bemused at the fact that we're taking time to put things into statute, and yet it doesn't appear, I don't have any expectation that the words that we're putting in statute are actually what's going to be followed.
Thank you, Representative Kirka.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the sponsor bringing this bill forward. I think it's been a very valuable discussion in committee, a lot of interesting questions raised, a lot of interesting issues brought to light. However, I cannot support this bill yet or at this time. There's some provisions that I like that I think would be better for the electorate to give better access. I think if done right, the 30-day deadline before an election to register, I think if we have proper security protocols in place, I think that could be done. But this bill is pretty significant, and it still needs a closer look, and I am concerned, as well as Representative Eastman, that the whole conversation about signature verification is kind of a joke. It doesn't happen in the state. And I guess I'd like to see, as part of that conversation, are we going to make a change to that? Are we going to require that from the division? Is there any regulation where they're going to do that? I mean, otherwise, is having that part of the discussion without making that change in concurrence with something like this doesn't, it seems it's kind of a half step. So I'll be voting no at this time.
Thank you, Representative Christ Tompkins.
Really appreciate the sponsor bringing it forward again. And I think these are important changes, and I'm very supportive of them.
I also appreciate the effort by Representative Tuck, appreciate the work we've done on committee. I broadly think this is a good bill and will support moving forward. And before we vote, I want to advise the recording secretary that Representative Snyder will be voting via Microsoft Teams today. And Representative Snyder, may I have a motion?
I move version 32-LS0322/B of House Bill 66 as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
I will object at this time.
There is an objection, Madam Clerk, if you would please call the roll.
Representative Christ Tompkins?
Yes.
Representative Eastman?
No.
Representative Kirka?
No.
Representative Vance?
No.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Representative Snyder?
Yes.
Chair Klayman?
Yes.
Four yeas, three nays.
So by a vote of 4-3, House Bill 66 as amended moves from committee. Please stay behind after we adjourn to sign the paperwork. We will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 21st at 1 p.m. If anyone is considering offering an amendment to House Bill 39, please let our office know and submit them electronically by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, tomorrow, April 20th. It is my intention to take up amendments to House Bill 39 during our next meeting and then pass the bill out of committee following final discussion. I would also note for members of the committee, there's some discussion that we may be meeting as on the floor on Thursday instead of on Friday. I am leaning towards scheduling judiciary for Friday morning at 10:30, since we won't be meeting in the floor at that hour. That won't be official until I think I have to make some sort of a motion on the floor or notice or something like that. But I'm just letting you all know that's what I'm thinking about for Friday, to the extent that impacts your plans for Friday. So with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is now 1:59 p.m.